Welcome to today's ICANN radio segment, an initiative of the Clarence Access Network, facilitated by the Clarence City Council. Stay with us now to hear powerful people with disability sharing their lived experiences of making a difference in employment, sport, housing and more.
My name's Karen and I'm the co-founder of a local non-profit organisation called Young Leaders of Tasmania. YLOT is committed to making communities inclusive and creating awareness of disability throughout our younger generations, with the aim of creating change throughout communities over the long term. This includes educating young people in different ways of communicating and interacting with others through our unique, innovative Buddy program. Today I'm joined by one of our young leaders, Lottie Frohmader, who participated in the All Abilities program last year. Also joining us from Queensland University is Dr. Lisa Stafford, who is leading a research project called Planning Inclusive Communities. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Karen. Karen, can you tell us about how YLOT got started?
The inspiration for YLOT came from my daughter, Isabella, or Bella, who lives with a disability. It was through the interactions Bella had with her peers that we began to witness a development of leadership through their own personal growth. In 2016, thoughts of a structured program began, and thanks to support from Belrive Primary School Principal Mr. Stephen Hay and Southern Support School Principal Simon Ellerby, and with the thanks of an initial Clarence City Council grant, the idea grew into a pilot in Hobart in 2017. This proved successful, and since then we've grown to become a statewide organisation with our program operating in all support schools across Tasmania, thanks to state government funding. Children from mainstream school settings visit the support school weekly or fortnightly, and they're buddied with a child living with a disability for the duration of the full year. So it's a year-long program, and they work together, learn from each other, build friendships and share experiences together. Lottie, would you like to share some of your thoughts and experiences from a perspective of being involved in the program and your time with your buddy Ryan?
At the beginning of 2019, my school, the Friends School, encouraged me to sign up to the YLOT program. And at this point, I had no idea of the profound influence and impact it would later have on me. Every fortnight, I visited the Southern Support School and I supported students in the S Blue class. So one of the students was my buddy Ryan. Before the program, I felt really nervous and apprehensive. I have many friends who identify as having a disability, but the majority of them are adults. So I had never really had any experience with supporting young people with disabilities before. And one of my biggest worries was that in an attempt to use really accessible language, I would be patronising and condescending towards the students, and I really didn't want to do this. However, before the program, I made a commitment to myself that I would treat everyone at the Southern Support School, both teachers and students alike, as equals. And so I felt also really excited that I would be able to learn how to communicate with students in the most accessible way. But I felt also that I would try to acknowledge their agency in the process. YLOT really taught me the importance of equal access. Everyone should be able to attend events in an equal way. Specifically, people with disabilities should not be excluded from public events. Last year, I supported young people with disability and their families to attend sensory-friendly dark mofo sessions. And so this event was not only really rewarding for me, as I was able to support my friends, so Ryan and Eliza, in a public setting, but it was also really enjoyable. And it really showed me the importance of accessible and inclusive spaces for people with disability, and how I feel at least that young people with disability are often excluded from conversations and dialogues about accessibility. So yeah, I think it really showed me the importance of having these discussions about accessibility, but always trying to include young people as well. If I had to sum up the program in a sentence, I think it really emphasised to me how people of all abilities can form really meaningful and long-lasting friendships. I'm still friends with Ryan to this day, as I feel that kindness and compassion and empathy transcend abilities. So I'm so grateful for this program and for everything that it has taught me.
And yeah, exactly what Lottie said, the barriers that young people face every day, whether that's getting to school or going to music events and festivals, it's a real significant barrier. And that's what this project's trying to work with, is local governments and community, to identify how can we better plan communities so that we don't have to keep experiencing these barriers. And one of the ways to do that is actually hearing stories and hearing people's accounts and what their ideas are in terms of how we can better plan, because most of the barriers we're talking about have actually been designed by people. You know, exclusion just doesn't occur. It's actually something that society's created.
That's right.
So the good thing is,
Interesting, because I was at a conference last year where one of the keynote presenters said, there's no such thing as disability in a person, but rather disability in a culture, and we need to educate communities to enable and celebrate diversity and difference. I think that's really important, isn't it? Just getting that conversation out there and hearing everyone's perspective on their communities and what is important to everyone.
And it's also, you know, I've worked with children and young people for a long time in my professional research capacity, but it's also a personal project for me too, because I'm also a woman with a disability. I know firsthand what it's like to be excluded from everyday spaces, being able to access public transport, or even teaching my class at university. I've had difficulties even teaching in a lecture room. These fundamental things a lot of people take for granted, but we can fix them by actually shifting attitudes, but also how we think about humans. And one of the problems is we design for often the young male, but rather when you look at humans, we're quite a diverse group. We need to start reflecting what we look like as a, you know, human society.
One of the things actually with Wylot that we focus on quite a bit throughout the year is educating young people about different forms of communication through alternative devices. Sign language apps on iPads these days are really becoming quite universal and extremely accessible. It's great to be able to have those in the community as well, and having people aware of how they work and it is someone's voice.
Ryan would use this program on his iPad, which kind of had symbols and little pictures that really aided his communication. And that's how we communicated. And at first it was very different for me. I'd never communicated with someone in that way. I felt that it would be really beneficial if alternative forms of communication, such as sign language and other online programs or communication systems, were introduced in mainstream schooling as well. I wish that I could have learned sign language when I was younger, or used alternative forms of communication, because in not using or in not learning these forms of communication, we are excluding an entire group.
Lots of people are excluded because of the way in which we don't understand how people express themselves in multiple different ways. We often just use a survey and that excludes people. And that's one thing with the research, is we're offering multiple different ways in which people can tell their stories, whether photos, through storytelling, and all ways in which using their voice output devices, through to sign language. It's how we actually value that voice, whichever way it's expressed. And I think that's really, really important. So it's going to be exciting to hear the young people's stories and ideas.
I think it's really important that we consider the voices of people with disability and we actively involve them in any decision-making processes. My experience as part of the Wylot program has really taught me that there's a significant difference between advocacy for people with disabilities and advocacy with people with disabilities. In any project planning or in anything that we do as a society, we should really aim to amplify the voices of people with disability and empower them to share their story in an accessible manner.
Our program speaks for itself in we can see on the faces and we can see and witness within the classrooms just how much the children with disabilities are getting out of interacting with their peers. But it's really great for them to have that say and that ability to be able to express themselves. For example, I've asked Bella, what does she enjoy about Wylot and what does she like doing with her buddies? This is what she said to me this morning on her accessible device.
What do you have to say about the Wylot Buddies, Bella?
I love friends. Listen to music.
It's really exciting to be getting into this project with you, Lisa. Did you want to explain a bit about how people can get involved?
Anyone 9 years and older who lives, works or study in the Clarence City Council area as one of our partners for the research project can get involved.
I'm Karen from Young Leaders of Tasmania. Today I've been talking with Dr. Lisa Stafford from Queensland University and Miss Lottie Fromader, who was one of our All Abilities program participants last year. For more information on the ICAN program, contact Julie Anderson at the Clarence City Council on 6217 9597. Hobart FM, supporting our community.